At this time of the church's year, we've been thinking about the goal to which all creation is going, namely the fulfillment of everything. And there have been some readings during the week from the book of Revelation. And one of them has been harvest time. Put the sickle in. And one of the harvests was going to be wheat, and the other was going to be vines and grapes. Now, our Lord chose to leave himself to us according to the culture in which he lived. If the incarnation was real, Jesus had to come at a certain time, in a certain place, into a certain culture, where bread and wine were the signs of hospitality. If he'd been Asian and born there, he would have probably offered us noodles and sake. But it was bread and wine which were the cultural signs of hospitality. Now, bread and wine have had a most painful history. You think of the wheat waving in the breeze, enjoying God's sunshine, and then some combine harvester comes along and cuts it down. That's vicious. And then the wheat is shaken about, and eventually it's milled, ground into flour. I used to be a great bread maker. You could always tell if a loaf of bread was alive or not. You punch it and it would come back at you. And if the yeast had died, it sort of was obviously dead. And then after it had been cut and ground and mixed, then it's fired. So the next time you have some bread, please remember the painful history that it's had. The same with wine. The Jews didn't eat fruit salad. Vines were for wine. In the old days, people used to drink quite a bit of alcohol because the water wasn't safe. So it might have been mead made of honey, or wine, or beer, ale of some sort, probably so strong that germs couldn't exist in it. So it was sort of sterilized, really. But a vine has to be pruned. If you'd allowed a vine to bud on all its buds, it would just die of exhaustion. It has to be cut down so that it may produce fruit. And every human being is so super abundantly gifted. We couldn't possibly flourish on all our gifts in one lifetime. We'd just die of exhaustion. So sometimes we have to choose. I suppose I could have been an actor, I could have been a concert pianist, but you can't do everything in this life. So we have to choose what we're going to do. And then when the harvest is time, then the grapes are cut down and crushed until the pips squeak. That's painful. Whether they're trodden or put into a wine press. Wine making used to be one of my hobbies. You have to wait then for it to bubble and ferment. So wine also has had a painful history. So the next time you may have a glass of wine, just remember the poor grapes that were crushed. So when our Lord gives us this bread and wine, consecrated for his body in the Eucharist, remember that both the bread and the wine are painful signs. And if we're going to give ourselves to each other and drink a loving cup, we have to remember that a loving cup isn't just a boozy old thing you can have at the local tavern. A loving cup has pain as well as joy. And bread for the Jews was a sign of great intimacy. Terrible thing to betray a friend with whom you've shared your bread. So at this time of the year, we remember that history is linear for us. Before any revelation of God, people waltzed round through the seasons. We've just come to the end of the church's year and beginning another year. But we've changed. Like a tree, there's always a new ring. It's not just going back to the same place as before. And the Hebrew breakthrough was to realize that the God of Israel has history in his hands. It's linear. It has a beginning and it has an end. Our Lord warned us about people who thought the end was just around the corner. It's terribly arrogant of people of this age, 2006, to think that the world's about to end. If you believe the Big Bang theory, the world's been going for 14,000 million years. I have no doubt it might carry on for another 14,000 million years. As astronomy is one of my interests and hobbies, it's very interesting when the astronomers are discussing whether the universe is going to expand forever and dive a deep freeze, or whether it'll shrink and become a big crunch again. But our planet isn't a permanent home. In 5,000 million years, our sun will become a red giant and consume the Earth. So we'll have to have moved on by then, and I'm an optimist. Pope and Vatican and Church and the whole human race would have had to have gone somewhere else by then. That's very arrogant to think there's something special about 2006. Even our Lord said even he doesn't know the day and the hour, only the Father knows. It's very arrogant for human beings to think they know when the world's going to end. It just puts people into a terrible fear. And when the year 2000 came without anything special, well, how foolish they look. Our Lord said, don't believe these millenniarists. They're just there to scare everybody. All we can do is to do the little that's given to us today, to live in the present moment, knowing that we're all contributing to some sort of fulfillment when Christ, our King and Lord and High Priest, will present to his Father the fulfillment of all creation. And I hope we'll all be there. If I was invited to some big formal dinner, which I never had, given by the Lord Mayor of London for the Queen or something like that, and we all assemble at the table, it's a very discourteous person who sits down and starts his shrimp cocktail. You wait till everyone is present, and then they say grace, and then we all sit down. And I don't think the heavenly banquet really starts until the last day. How could, if God willing, I reach heaven, how could we feed ourselves while they're still suffering on earth? We have to wait. When the whole thing is fulfilled, there'll be an enormous grace, and we'll all sit down together. All the nations, all the tribes, all the languages, all the cultures, all the theologies, all the liturgies will be there, because the Lord loves all. He's a universalist or Catholic in that sense with a small c. And if we're going to be happy in heaven, we better get used to living in a multicultural world, multinational, multilingual, polycoloured. The hell about hell is it's monochrome, infinite sameness, monotony. The joy of heaven will be, we'll all be there, we hope, with God's grace. So let's enjoy all being here now. Amen.